Most people have this ongoing conversation going inside of them. It can either be a positive conversation or negative conversation. But what I've discovered is a lot of people have fear-based inner conversations.
This is Straight Talk.
To me, one of the saddest characters found in Scripture is King Saul. I mean, Saul is this handsome, tall guy with the calling of God on his life. In fact, the first king that Israel ever had, he potentially had the ability to turn this country around and do some incredible things for God. But his life was sabotaged by fear. And if you want to see some of the really devastating effects of fear, all you have to do is look at the life of Saul. Well, we're going to be talking about stop scaring yourself to death. Because most of our fear is self-induced. And as we look at Saul, his sad story, you'll discover a man who allowed his fear-based thinking to sabotage his call and his life. So stay tuned as we talk about stop scaring yourself to death.
Thanks, Pastor Mark. Hi, everyone. We continue on in our series called Facing Your Fear Factor today with a message called Stop Scaring Yourself to Death. We'll be in the book of 1 Samuel. Here's Pastor Mark.
I want to talk to you about the second part of this series entitled Stop Scaring Yourself to Death. Recently, I heard of a young boy who was trying to go to sleep in the middle of a big thunderstorm. The thunder was rattling the windows. He could see the outside light up with lightning just before the big blast. And so he was snuggled up under his blankets, and his mother was trying to put him to bed. And he said to his mother with that little pitiful voice that only children could put on, "Mom, could you please stay with me tonight?" And she was tucking him in, saying, "No, son, I can't." She said, "Why? Why can't you stay with me tonight? Just please lay down and sleep with me tonight." She says, "No, son, I have to go sleep with Daddy." So he turned around. As she was walking out of the room, she heard him say under his breath, "That big sissy." All of us have fears. Some of those fears are obsessive compulsive fears that bug you, that follow you around, that irritate you. But oftentimes we have this conversation going inside of our head. You say, "Well, what kind of conversation?" Most people have this ongoing conversation going inside of them. It can either be a positive conversation or negative conversation. But what I've discovered is a lot of people have fear-based inner conversations. When I was a young boy, I lived in a small town in northern Spain. And this was a village of no more than 250 people. And to get from the center of the town down to my house at the bottom of the hill, I had to walk by a cemetery. Now, this cemetery was built right on the backside of a church. And it was a small cemetery. But on the cemetery wall, built into the cemetery wall, there was a house. Now, my friends had told me that in that house, it was the morgue. And they would dissect bodies and try to discover why someone died. So in my mind, it was the place where they cut up dead bodies. And so I recall vividly walking from the center of town down to my house, especially at nighttime, at dusk, when it was starting to get dark. And I remember walking by this building, this two-story building, and there was two windows up in this two-story building. And when it was dark there, walking all alone and looking up at those windows, and in my mind, I just knew there was something lurking behind those windows. And I'll never forget the palpitation of my heart as I walked and sped up a little, tried to hum to myself, glancing up at that window as a 7, 8, 9-year-old boy, thinking, there's something in those windows, they're there. And I recall various times walking by this and having this internal conversation with myself, I better hurry on because I know there's something sinister lurking behind those windows. Well, as I've grown up, I realized there was nothing behind those windows really at all. But in my mind, I thought there was. And in my mind, it created a sense of anxiety and fear, believing that something existed there. Now, fear is exactly that way. Some of you have conversations of fear inside of you. Oh, and they may not be anymore about the monsters in the closet. You've gotten beyond at night putting your feet on the floor and worrying about an octopus grabbing you from under the floor. You've gotten beyond, hopefully you've gotten beyond some of those fears. But there are other fears that you think about. Other fears that invade your conversation space inwardly that have the ability to sabotage all that God is trying to do within your life. Today we're going to look at a young man that was handsome, that was physically fit, that had the ability and the possibility to transform a nation. He was a leader. He had the tools at his disposal to make a huge difference. But because of his internal conversation, everything that God designed him to do and become were devastated because these little conversations in his head that he had with fear. Who is this young man? His name was Saul. I'd like for you to take your Bibles and to turn to 1 Samuel Chapter 12. 1 Samuel chapter 12. As you look at the book of Samuel, you will discover that verse chapter 8 through 28 deal with the life of Saul. Some of you that are familiar with the Bible understand that Saul was the first king that Israel ever had. If you recall, when the people of Israel were liberated out of bondage from the Egyptians through their leader Moses, they were taken into a land through the leader Joshua, and they inhabited this land and settled into this land. They had no king, they had no governor. The rule of the people of Israel at that time was through what is called judges. A judge was someone that would be appointed as leader over the tribes, and he would judge affairs, and he would deal with disputes within the land, and he was the spiritual and political leader along with the prophet. The prophet was someone that heard from God. He was the spiritual leader that would hear from God and give direction to the nation. For years, Israel operated not as a monarchy, but as a theocracy. In other words, it was God through men of God that ruled the nation. But when we arrive to the story in 1 Samuel, we discover that the people of Israel are being oppressed by a people called the Philistines. They are being attacked, they are being invaded, and they are distressed, and they feel like the solution to their problem would be if they just had a king like all the other nations. And so they approach Samuel the prophet and they say, "We want a king." Parenthetically, let me say, do you realize that sometimes if you want something bad enough and insist before God long enough and persist in it and want it and desire it and push for it, that sometimes in spite of God's warning, he will give you what you want even though he knows it's not what is best for you? Not because he wants to. He'll warn you about it. He'll try to dissuade you, talk you out of it. But if you insist and persist and push and want it and desire it, God will allow it to happen, even oftentimes when it's not the best. Samuel the prophet told the people of Israel, God does not desire a king for this, for you. It's not the best decision at this time, but they insisted and persisted and desired a king. So finally God said, okay, I will give you a king. It's not my will, it's not my desire, but because you insist, because you persist, I will give you a king. That's a scary thought, isn't it? It's a scary thought that at times we take our will, our desires, and we push them so much, regardless of what God wants, regardless of what God says, and we push them so much that God says, okay, I've warned you about it. Here's what you wanted. How many of you know what I'm talking about? You push for that job. You got it. Now you wish you never got it. You said, oh, if I could only date her. People warned you. Your mom warned you. Your home group warned you. Your friends warned you. But you know what? You couldn't see anything else. You got her. And after you got her, you wish you didn't get her. And all I'm saying to you is that oftentimes, if we're not careful, we can push our agenda in front of God's, even in spite of God's warning. So it happened with the people of Israel. And so Samuel said, okay, I will appoint for you a king. And the Bible says that through a series of circumstances, Saul ended up before Samuel. And Samuel anoints Saul with a flask of oil. And he says, you are to become the next king. Now, we don't know a lot about Saul's growing up years, but we do know that he was head and shoulders taller than almost anybody else. He was an only child. He came from a pretty well-to-do family. He was physically fit, big and tall. Everything that someone outwardly would think would make a great king. But Saul had a problem. His problem was inner conversations that were fear-driven. How do we know that? Well, just look at a few verses in Scripture that give us indication of these conversations. For example, when Samuel said to Saul, I'm going to anoint you as king. God has chosen you. Saul said to him, am I not, in 1 Samuel chapter 9, verse 21, am I not a Benjamite of the smallest of the tribes of Israel? And my family, they are the least of all the families of the tribe of Benjamin. Why do you speak to me this way? Saul viewed himself as insignificant, as nothing, as small. He had an identity problem.
We'll be right back with Pastor Mark Jobe in a moment. You are listening to our Straight Talk message called Stop Scaring Yourself to Death, which is from our current series, Facing Your Fear Factor. After the broadcast, I'll tell you more about how you can get a free copy of this message, as well as give you information regarding Pastor Mark's ministry at New Life Community Church in Chicago. Right now, let's get back to Pastor Mark. We're in the book of 1 Samuel, and our message is called Stop Scaring Yourself to Death.
Later on, finally, when he was anointed as king, all the tribes of Israel were brought together for this grandiose ceremony. And as they looked for Saul, the Bible says they looked around and could not find Saul. And then finally, God said to them, look among the baggage. And they went to the baggage area, there they found Saul hiding among the baggage. There he is in a corner, behind the luggage and the suitcase, hiding. He had a fear problem. Later on, we see even Samuel talking to him. For example, in 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 17, Samuel said to him, is it not true, though you were little in your own eyes, you were made the head of all the tribes of Israel? You see, Saul had the issue that he was insecure. Insecurities come into our life because we've allowed fear-based thinking to enter into our lives. Saul found himself appointed to a grand position of leadership, but he was insecure. Now, the beautiful thing about this, and the thing that this reveals about the heart of God, as I looked at this passage, I realized God's not afraid of calling insecure people. I love that about God. God knew who Saul was. God knew that he had issues, but God said, I'm going to use him anyways. I'm going to call him anyways. I'm going to give him a chance anyways, because God sees us. He sees our baggage. He sees our past. But God is willing to take a risk even when we have issues in our life. In fact, not only is he willing to take a risk, but he's willing to give us all the tools that we need to overcome our past and our baggage and our insecurities. And I am convinced that Saul had everything that he needed to become a great leader, but he blew it. When Samuel appointed Saul as leader, he gave a great speech to the people of Israel. And Saul was right there when he gave the speech. And he went on and he told them, even though this wasn't God's will, even though this wasn't God's plan, God will bless you and God will make you a great nation, but you need to do a couple of things. And at the end of that speech, it's found in 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse 24. He says these words that could have changed Saul's life around if he would have only listened to them. Samuel said, inspired by the Spirit of God, he says, but be sure to fear the Lord and serve him faithfully with all your heart. That word faithfully, by the way, in the Hebrew means truthfully, sincerely, fully, faithfully with all your heart. Consider what great things God has done for you. But because Saul did not listen to these words and take these words to heart, what happened is he allowed his insecurities that came from fear-based thinking to take away everything that God had for him. So this morning I want us to first of all begin to focus on this. I want you to understand that our insecurities come from fear-based thinking, just like Saul's did. Now the first fear that we see in Saul's life, and the fear that many of us face here, is the fear of failure. How many of you understand that the fear of failure can be a real strong fear? And oftentimes, we don't do things because we're afraid we're going to fail. Someone recently asked me this: what would you do if you knew you could do anything and not fail at it? There's a question. You see, a lot of things we don't do because we think, I'm going to fail. You don't take a test and pass a course because you think, I'm going to fail. You don't start a business because you think, well, I'm going to fail. You don't enter into that relationship because you think, well, I'm going to fail. You don't step up to that ministry because you think, well, I'm going to fail. You don't get baptized because you think, well, I'm going to get baptized and then I'm going to fail. You don't take a step forward to come to the altar and give your life to Christ because you think, well, I'm gonna blow it. I'm going to fail. And so oftentimes we get stuck in places fearing failure. I've known people that get stuck in a dating relationship for a long time, never take the step of marriage because they're afraid, I'm going to fail at it. And we look at the life of Saul, we realize that one of the things that plagued Saul was the fear of failure. I want you to notice, for example, in 1 Samuel chapter 13, after Saul was appointed as king, he went out and he fought this great victory and liberated some people. And God gave him a mighty victory and he knew the hand of God was upon him. And sometimes that's what happens. Once we've had one victory, we're afraid we have to have a string of victories and we can never fail again. So Saul was about to face his second battle. Now he had had an incredible first battle. God had given him victory and he's about to face his second battle. And Samuel had told Saul, I want you to wait at Gilgal until I come and I will offer sacrifices before God and I will bless the armies before they start. And the Bible says that Saul gathered all his men together. They were about to fight this mighty battle. And he gathered all his men together and he waited. And Samuel didn't show. And he waited and he waited and he waited. And still Samuel did not show up. He waited 7 days and Samuel had not shown up, and he looked around and his men were starting to scatter because they were afraid of the opposition that was mounting. And so what he did is he went up to the altar and he took on the place of a prophet, and he did what he knew he should not do. He offered sacrifices unto God that only prophets should do. And as soon as he was done offering the sacrifices, he turned around and guess who showed up? The Bible says that he waited 7 days in 1 Samuel 13, verse 8. He waited 7 days, the time set by Samuel, but Samuel did not come to Gilgal. And Saul's men began to scatter, so he said, bring the burnt offering and the fellowship offerings. And Saul offered up the burnt offerings. Just as he had finished, Samuel arrived. And Saul went to greet him. What have you done? Asked Samuel. You see, let me tell you, when we're afraid to fail, what we will do is that fear will lead us to take things into our hands rather than wait on God. It can also lead us to take a role that is not ours to take. Some of you are in a marriage. You're afraid your marriage is going to fail. You're afraid your marriage isn't working the right way. It's on the rocks a little bit. And so because you're afraid that it's going to fail, you take on a role that's not yours to take on. Some of you wives, you become the second Holy Spirit. You say, God, you're not doing a good enough job. My husband needs two Holy Spirits. I'll be your helper, God. And you try to change your husband to become his coach, his mentor, his tutor, his helper, his Holy Spirit. And you take on a role in saying, I'm going to try to fix my husband because he's broken. There's something wrong with him. And you take on this role of fixer, of coach, of counselor. And you take on a role that God never asked you to take on. And in that role, you will find yourself anxious because you can't change your husband. How many of you know that? Let me just free you from that. You cannot change your husband and you cannot change your wife. Stop trying. You say, Pastor, then what should I do? You be you. You be the best you can be in God. You begin to say, God, change me. God, work in me. God, help me love her. God, help me respect him. You begin to ask that God would change you. You start focusing on yourself. Start saying, I want to walk in integrity. I want to walk in blessing so it splashes over. But God, you know I can't change my spouse. So you have to change them, God. You have to work in their life because I can't do what only you can do, God. Because when you take on a wrong role, and believe me, I'm talking out of experience. I've tried to be the Messiah before. And I used to think I could fix people. He's broken. Let me at him. I'm going to fix him. And God let me know a long time ago, but you don't fix people. You don't change people. I do the fixing. I do the changing. I am the Messiah. And if you try to take a role that's not yours because you're afraid of failure in someone's life or you're afraid to fail. And I used to, when I started out in ministry, anybody would fall. Anybody would struggle. If I was dealing with an addict and they fell back to their addiction, I felt like, God, I failed. If I was discipling someone and they went bad or backslid, I would say, God, I failed again. And I would look at people and think that they were mine to fix. And God had to deal with my heart and say, no, no, no. There's only one Messiah and it's not Mark Job. The place is taken already. And I can use you and I can work through you, but I was taking everybody's failure personally. And God said, that's not your role to take. And when you begin to take that role and you begin to put, when you're afraid of failure and you start taking roles that aren't yours to take, you will end up frustrated and discontent and you will begin to do things and act like things that aren't yours to take. God will say, step out of that role. That's not yours to be in. How many of you know that? And it becomes difficult for us to wait at times when we feel failure as well because we're afraid that God may not show up on time. Saul was afraid of failure.
You've been listening to Pastor Mark Jobe of New Life Community Church in Chicago, and our message has been called Stop Scaring Yourself to Death. We invite you to join us again on the next Straight Talk for the second half of this message, which is from our series called Facing Your Fear Factor. As I mentioned earlier, if you'd like to have a copy of this message, you can download it for free with our Straight Talk app. Just log on to PastorMarkJobe.com. That's PastorMarkJobe, J-O-B-E.com. There you will find over 45 other series that can help you in your daily walk with God. If you'd prefer to have a CD of the message, contact our office at 773-585-3300. That's 773-585-3300. CDs are only $5 plus shipping. We also invite you to check out a New Life location near you this Sunday. We have 24 life-giving locations throughout the city of Chicago, and you can check us out at www.newlifechicago.org. That's newlifechicago.org. We'd love to meet you. And please tell them that you heard about New Life through the radio program. We hope that you've enjoyed this broadcast, and we thank you for joining us. Please do listen in to the next Straight Talk. On behalf of Pastor Mark, myself, and the Straight Talk team, we appreciate your listenership. Have a great evening, and God bless.